I'm sorry, 96 through 103 is what it's going to be. All right, we'll let him get those handed out. We're here in Colossians chapter 2. Paul has already warned this church about some dangers, philosophy and legalism and things like that, and man's opinions. And now he's getting into the fullness that is found in Christ. And in these passages, verses 9 through 13, he is going over some great salvation doctrines, some things that happened to a person when they got saved. And so that's the section that we're dealing with here. And last time we met, we looked at spiritual circumcision, a great Bible doctrine. Every one of these Bible doctrines point towards eternal security. They each have their own little place when it comes to salvation doctrine, but they all point to eternally secured. And I'm thankful that I cannot lose the salvation that I have. And one of the reasons I cannot lose the salvation I have is because it's not even mine. It's His that He gave me. And so these verses are dealing with what happened the very moment that you got saved. So we've already looked at spiritual circumcision, but I'm going to go back and read verse number 9 and go down to verse 12, which is where we're going to pick it up. And tonight we're going to look at another salvation doctrine that's found within these verses. But verse 9 says, "For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses." And so we're not going to look at verse 13 tonight. We're going to start on verse 12, and I will not get finished with this verse tonight, but we're going to go and get started on it. And then after camp meeting, we'll pick it back up on that following Wednesday night, Lord willing. "Buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead." Again, this is one of the great salvation doctrines. One of the things that took place the very moment that you got saved. And so this "buried with Him in baptism," this speaks of the baptism that saves. The baptism that saves. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 5 says, "There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism." Now the Bible teaches 7 different baptisms, but there's only one that saves. One baptism, and that's the one that we're talking about today. Buried with Him in baptism. So this baptism in verse 12 is a spiritual baptism. And it is pictured by a water baptism, but it is not water baptism. Whenever we baptize with water, it's a confession of what took place on the, what has already taken place on the inside. Water baptism is not a second work of grace. It's not completing your salvation. It is just a public testimony about what took place on the inside. It's a picture and a type of what took place on the inside. The Christian, when they get saved, is immersed into Jesus Christ at salvation, and thus becomes a partaker of an eternal life that was manifested in time and went through 3 processes. Okay? And so this this baptism. All these things took place the moment you get saved. And not until you get in the Bible and begin to learn these things or be taught them do you understand that all this took place. Spiritual circumcision that took place on the inside where God separated your soul from your flesh. The moment you got saved, unless you were taught these things before you got saved, maybe you grew up in church, you did not understand the transaction that took place on the inside. But this is what God did for you and in you in order to save you. And this baptism is one of the things. The Holy Spirit baptizes you into Jesus Christ. It wasn't the Holy Spirit being baptized with the Holy Spirit. We read about that in Scripture and being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's not what this is. The Holy Spirit of God baptizes you into Christ. And there's three stages here. The first one is crucifixion. All right, and this mirrors what Jesus Christ went through for you and I, the death, burial, and resurrection. And Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So the first part of this is the crucifixion. Colossians chapter 2:12, our text verse gives us the second one, and that's the burial. Crucifixion, the burial. Okay, so we have the death, the burial, and then the third one is the resurrection. Okay, Romans chapter 6, verse 4 through 5 says, therefore we are buried. With him by baptism. This is not water baptism. I keep saying that. People get these confused. I don't believe anybody in here tonight would. You've been taught these some of these things already. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. So this is the process that took place within you the very moment you got saved. This is the great salvation doctrine of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And when a person gets saved, the Holy Spirit baptizes that person into Jesus Christ. There's different groups that every time they see the word baptism in the Bible, they immediately think water. Just like there's some that every time they see the word church, they immediately think the body of Christ. And that's not always the case either. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13 tells us, for by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. And that body is Christ. We read about that in the book of Ephesians. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. So, if you notice in this text, the Holy Spirit is the one that performs this baptism. And the reason why that's significant when it comes to your salvation is that the Holy Spirit is the one that performs the baptism, is because many people get confused about being filled with the Holy Spirit and Christ baptizing them with the Holy Spirit. as being a method of salvation. There's different denominations and different groups that feel like once they trust Christ as their Savior, that is the first part of it. And then later on, at some point, they're going to get filled with the Holy Spirit, begin to speak in tongues, and that's the second part of being saved. And the way they teach that is that Jesus pours out the Holy Spirit on you, and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're baptized with the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is the working agent in this matter of salvation. He's the one that takes the sword of the Spirit and performs the circumcision. He's the one that baptizes you into Christ. It's not Christ baptizing you with the Holy Spirit. This baptism puts you into the mystery body that Paul talks about. This mystery body is Christ. It's the church. And this is the verse I mentioned just a moment ago, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3 through 6. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. As I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise. In Christ by the gospel. This body is defined here in Ephesians as being the body of Jesus Christ, which is the church. This is, and we're speaking of a universal church. It's the body of Christ. There's people that are in the body of Christ that are in other denominations. They're just as saved as you and I are. They might be confused about their doctrine. There's some that are saved and they don't know it. They don't know that they can't lose their salvation. If they did what the Bible says to be saved, then they're saved. Maybe they've never understood the doctrine of eternal security, or they've had somebody tell them that they can lose their salvation. I preached at Teen Challenge today, and there's ladies in there that I will go in and I'll preach and tell them that once you're saved, that's it. It's done. It's final. And once you understand all of these Bible doctrines, you'll say, there's no way these can be undone. God's the only one that can undo this. I can't undo it. When the Holy Spirit baptized me into Christ, I can't pull myself out of Christ. There's no way that can happen. And once you understand these things, and I could teach those, and then tomorrow somebody come in there for chapel tomorrow and tell them that if they cussed a staff member, then they lost their salvation. And so they get very confused. And there's people that have trusted Christ as their Savior by grace through faith. They believed on the death, burial, and resurrection. They admitted, they acknowledged they were a sinner, and they're saved, but they don't know it. There's other denominations that have the gospel right, but they are confused about some other parts of it. Not everybody in the local church is saved. Don Green years ago said he believed that 80% of the local churches, there were lost people sitting in them that were members. You can be a member of a local church and not be in the body of Christ. But you cannot be in the body of Christ and be lost. And so this body is defined as the body of Jesus Christ, which is the church. And Paul elaborates that on that here in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 through 23. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. He clarifies that what he's talking about. He's not talking about the local church of Ephesus, even though everybody that is saved there is in this body, which is his body. He clarifies what that is, the body of Christ, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And again, in 1 Corinthians 12:12 through 27, he said, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ." Speaking of the body of Christ, which is made up of many members. All right, for by one Spirit, This is a verse we looked at earlier. We are all baptized. Into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. And I'm not going to read the rest of this passage. We'll go down to the very end of it. You can go back and read it. This is a good study when you're talking about the body of Christ. It starts talking about the individual members of the body, the hand, the foot, and things like that. And so you can go back and read that sometime. But the very end of that passage says, now ye are, and I forgot to take out the body there. The body of Christ and members in particular. And so if you're saved, you make up the body of Christ. And everybody that is saved has a part in the body of Christ. We all have a part in the church. We should. If you're a member of a church, you should have a part in the church in some way, somehow. It's ministering in some way. That's how a local church works. But it also works that way in the body of Christ. Everybody has gifts. Every person has a gift that they can offer to the body of Christ. And if you don't know what that is, you pray and ask God to show it to you. And God will give it to you. But we all have gifts. Not everybody can preach. Not everybody can sing. Not everybody can teach. But everybody can do something in the body of Christ. We all have a part. Not everybody can be a hand, but you can be a little toe or something. We all have a part in the body of Christ. When the Bible speaks about this body, it's not talking about a local congregation in a church building on this earth. The local church that you attend is not the body of Christ. The saved people who attend the local church are in His body. But the lost people who attend the local church are not in the body. And we just talked about that a second ago. All right, the only way a person can be put into this body is with the subject that we're talking about, is by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Again, not being baptized with the Holy Spirit, not being baptized getting the Holy Spirit, it's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where He baptized you into Christ. And this occurs at salvation. The very moment you got saved, this happened. You didn't even know it happened. You didn't understand it. I imagine that when you got saved, like many others give testimony, even me as a 9-year-old boy, when I got saved, you felt like a burden was lifted. You're like, man, I feel clean. I feel different. Well, there was an operation that took place just like that. And there was a baptism that took place. And there were all kind of things that took place the very moment that you got saved. And that is maybe why you felt some of those. And you can't go off of your emotions or if you cried or not or whatever. Regardless of how you responded emotionally after salvation, if you did what the Bible says to be saved, these things took place. And the Holy Spirit baptized you into Christ. Now, the Bible mentions other kinds of baptisms. I said that a moment ago. And not to confuse it with this, we're just going to mention them. It mentions water baptism. Okay? And I will let you guys do some homework later and look at these verses. All right? You can do your homework and fill in these blanks. Water baptism. We have the story of Philip. When he went down, the Ethiopian eunuch says, "What doth hinder me to be baptized?" He told him he had to believe. And then they went down into the water and he was baptized down there. Water baptism. Now, water baptism follows a Holy Spirit baptizing you into Christ's salvation. And so I clarify that every time we have a baptism, this does not save them at all. I believe that people should be baptized. I believe it's one of the ordinances of the church that have water baptism, a testimony, a picture of what took place on the inside. But it has nothing to do with your salvation at all. If you did not get baptized in water does not mean that you're not saved. I think you should do it. It's a public testimony. You shouldn't be ashamed, and you should be able to identify with Christ. It's a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It's a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of you, the old man. And so water baptism is mentioned, and it's often confused. Salvation and Holy Spirit baptizing you into Christ is often confused with water baptism. And that's just not the case. All right. Another one is a baptism of fire. And if you want to go ahead and fill that in, you probably can guess what the blank is on this one without even looking at it, because there's only one blank. Okay. If someone prays for the baptism of fire, they have no clue what they're talking about. That's not something you pray for. Talked about the Holy Spirit coming with baptism, with Holy Ghost, and with fire. You study that out, you do not want to be baptized with fire. And if you're saved, you won't be, and you can't be. And I'm thankful for that too. I am not going to hell. And I'm very thankful for that. So there's a baptism of fire. But when we are back with Paul talking about salvation, he says one Lord, one faith, one baptism. But Paul, there's seven baptisms mentioned. No, there's only one when it comes to salvation. And that's the Holy Spirit baptizing you into Christ. All right, there's the baptism of suffering and death. Again, you can go back and look up these references, these cross references to go with these. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on them because they don't necessarily apply to what we're teaching. All right. And I didn't give you all of the baptisms. I just gave you a few of them that are commonly talked about. And these three are four here that we just mentioned. They are talked about in connection with salvation. There's churches and denominations, false teachers that twist these scriptures up. They may be confused themselves. I don't know. God's not the author of confusion, but they're definitely confused. But they will take the water, the fire, the suffering and death, and they will apply these to salvation because Paul said there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Talks about the baptism that saves. And so Paul mentions that. So they don't know how to rightly divide their Bible. They don't know how to find out what time period or dispensation that they're in. And so they will teach these and they'll mingle them all together and cause mass confusion. And there will be, as I said a moment ago, especially in the charismatic churches, that they're told if you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit and spoken in tongues yet, if you haven't been baptized with the Holy Spirit, then you are not saved and it's not complete. The work's not done. I've heard testimony, I'm sure some of you have too, where somebody accepted Christ as their Savior, and then maybe a week later or whenever later, they got filled with the Holy Spirit, they spoke in tongues, and now they're saved. And that's just not the case. And in the Church of Christ, they believe that you can go through the articles of, or go through the process of saying the right prayer and all those things, but it's not until the pastor of that church baptizes you in the water that you come in contact with the blood of Christ at that time, and then you complete the salvation process. And none of that has anything to do with whether or not you're saved today. What we're talking about is a spiritual baptism that took place the very second you got saved. You're not waiting for that to happen. Now, there are some parts of our salvation that we're waiting on. I'm waiting on a new body. We're waiting on the adoption to wit, right? Those are things that we received as a present possession. I'm going to get a new body. It's mine, but I'm not in it yet. That's coming. But when it comes to spiritual circumcision and this baptism of the Holy Spirit, that happened the very second you got saved. Now, there's several kinds of baptisms found in the Bible as we're talking about now, but we're told in Ephesians 4:5, there's only one. And that's because this is a reference to the baptism that puts you into Jesus Christ. And here's a reference again that we mentioned earlier. For by one Spirit. We are all baptized into one body. I know we hit this verse earlier, but we're driving it home. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Somebody was to come to you and ask you about your salvation and say, well, have you been filled with the Spirit yet? Say, well, he baptized me into Christ and I have all the Holy Spirit that I'll ever need right now. Now, whether or not I'm full of Him is another story, or whether I'm full of self. There's one baptism. There's many fillings. You can sit through a church service. You can have a personal revival and be full of the Spirit of God. And then the next day, it all leaks out. Why? We're stuck in this old stinking flesh. That's why we got to read our Bible every day. That's why we got to be crucify the flesh every day. We have to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. We've got to put on the armor of God. We've got to die daily because we're in this old stinking flesh. And we can have high spiritually and be full of the Holy Spirit, but it leaks out. And that's why things like camp meeting are so important for a church, and revivals, because it helps just stir things back up. It's a quickening. It's being made alive again. There's one baptism that saves. Now, these other baptisms in the Bible are Bible doctrines. They're not to be done away with, but they're to be put in their proper place and their proper time period and dispensation, proper doctrinal application. And there's a lot to learn from those things. But when it comes to salvation, there's one baptism. And it is not water baptism. Does everybody get the point on that? All right. There are no references to water anywhere in Ephesians chapter 4. But there are references to the Holy Spirit and the body. Again, Ephesians 4:4, there is one body and one Spirit. Even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. Ephesians 4:16, from whom the whole body, and that body is what? The body of Christ, it's the church. Body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed till the day of redemption. I looked at all these verses in Ephesians chapter 4 to show you that this one baptism has nothing to do with water at all. And there's people that try to change the wording in some of these texts, like 1 Corinthians 12:13, to make it sound like a reference to water baptism. Anytime a person has to change a verse in the Bible to make it line up with their doctrine, they're teaching a false doctrine. They're a false teacher. And that is absolute heresy. Let's see how much more I want to do here. All right, I'm going to stop right there. And Lord willing, in the Wednesday after camp meeting, because next week we're going to spend time in prayer and then we're going to fellowship over a meal. It's good to have church fellowship sometimes and pray that other people can be back with us. And then we will pick this back up. All right. Pray that this is helpful. I love love going over salvation doctrines. And we're going over this epistle that is the end time epistle, the epistle of the last days. It's good to be reminded of who we are in Christ and what He did for us when we got saved. And again, I'll repeat what I said a moment ago. I'm thankful I'm not going to hell, and I cannot lose my salvation. I